You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinions of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I'm going to really wrap up and summarize and connect two major stories that are in the news today. The last two shows have been on Obama's foreign policy failures, and I think overall, an objective assessment, it's been a failure. Now, I wouldn't give him an F, but a D is probably the highest I can go. Now, people that are foreign policy experts, the highest they typically can go is C. And that's being generous. It's almost a gentleman's C. But I think realistically and objectively, his foreign policy has been a disaster, and a disaster gets a D. Not an F, but a D. And I'll explain why when I wrap this up. But I want to connect Obama's foreign policy failures with his executive skill failures in really governing this United States. He was elected president not once, but twice. And when he was running for president, he was asked, what executive experience do you have? And the answer is, he had absolutely none. Remember, he ran for president when he just was elected to the Senate from Illinois. He had been in the Senate less than 200 days. And when asked what his executive skills are, flippantly said, what, is anyone qualified to be president? That's not answering the question. I agree that there are very few, if any, people that are totally ready to step in and to be president of the United States. It is probably one of the most demanding jobs in the entire world. So you would expect that anyone that runs for president that is serious first understands it in terms of the sheer scope of a position, because you need not only communication skills, which I say he has, it's primarily reading speeches. I'm not reading anything. What I do to prepare this show is I look at a lot of material. I read articles. I listen to YouTube videos. I gather information, graphs, photographs, cartoons, and what I do is I publish my notes. And let me say this right up front. The way you listen to this show is to go to my companion blog for this show, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com. So you type in www.pronkpops.wordpress.com, and that'll take you to my companion blog for the Pronk Pop Show. And at the very top, you'll have the most recent shows, usually between 60 and 80 of the most recent shows, the last 3 to 4 months. And at the very bottom of the page, you'll have my complete portfolio of all the shows that I've presented. But in between, you will have my notes for the show, which include some of the articles I've read, many YouTube videos, especially for this, as well as typically, depending on the nature of the story, I was going to do a story on what happened to GDP, because the GDP statistics were out, and the second revision for the first quarter was out, and it was negative. I'm going to hold off on that until tomorrow, because I've been saying for a long time, we've been on the verge of a recession, and now we've had the first quarter of negative growth. The press is blaming it on the weather. I think there's a small part of that is the weather. But this economy is on the brink or the tipping point of going into a recession. I'll cover that tomorrow, because what I really want to do is connect some major stories about not only President Obama's speech at West Point, the so-called Obama Doctrine, which I call the Obama-Bush Doctrine, and I amusingly call it obfuscate, bully, and deceive, because we've had two presidents, and they've largely done that. They've obfuscated, they've bullied, and they've deceived. And they've deceived the American people what they were up to. And what we have in the so-called Obama Doctrine is really a rehash of the Bush Doctrine. And I will explore that in a minute. But I want to also connect it to the scandal that's really developing in their Veterans Administration, and the fact there have been long delays in our veterans that have fought and defended this country, that have served their country. Many of them have become disabled, and where their only alternative is to seek medical help at the Veterans Administration, benefits that they've earned by their service to the country, find out that because of the sheer volume of veterans as a result of not only the Vietnam War, but the Iraqi War, the first one, as well as the second one, and that long Afghanistan War, we have many, many, many veterans that need and earned health care benefits as a result of the service, and they're not getting timely service. When they call up, it usually takes months before a doctor can actually see them. And the Veterans Administration, at least some in the Veterans Administration, have been playing games, because they get scored or evaluated in terms of their job performance and in some cases bonus based on whether or not they've achieved certain goals, such as how soon a veteran can get an appointment. At one time, it was within 30 days. I understand that is reduced to 14 days. The reality is, if you don't have the economic resources, namely, you don't have the staff in terms of doctors, nurses, as well as the physical facilities to accommodate that staff, including laboratory facilities, the problem is they can't meet those goals. So what they have resorted to do is simply cheat. And the way they've cheated is a veteran would call up and a number of things would happen. But the bottom line is it typically was 60, 90 or more days before they could get an appointment, not the 30 days or the 14 days. So games were being played. That is what bureaucracies do. They're not held accountable. Now, this is not a new problem. This has been going on for many, many, many years. And remember, the federal government spends a lot of money that the taxpayers have paid to provide the veterans with benefits, including access to hospitals, clinics, doctors, and other medical providers. And they're simply not getting the benefits that they're entitled to. Now, when I started, I presented my views, what should be done. And I'm getting a little upset. And mine was not a new idea. I had included a video, I think it was two or three shows ago. And it was of the late, great economist Milton Friedman of the University of Chicago, a Nobel Prize winner, a great monetary economist, and also a libertarian who shared my political philosophy of classical liberalism. He was on a show and was asked, what is the proper role of the federal government? And Milton Friedman, like me, believes in a very limited government. Now, he's not an anarchist that believes in no government. I believe, like Milton Friedman, in limited government, a constitutional representative republic. We're on the same page. And I agree with almost all, not all, but almost all of what Milton Friedman was saying in that video, as well as some of his other works. Because I'm an economist, and I was well aware of his views, and he does reflect my own political views. So they literally went through a list of all the federal departments. Should we keep it, or should we close it? shut it down. Now, he said we need to keep the Department of State, the Department of Defense, the Treasury to collect taxes to fund the proper role of the federal government, as well as the Department of Justice. Those are the four departments, and only four departments, that he would keep. He would close the rest, including the Veterans Administration, which I would also close. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not the function of the federal government to run businesses, to provide goods and services that the private sector is completely capable of providing at an affordable price with good quality that meets the needs of the American people. Wealth, income, and jobs is created in the private sector. And those that are successful are rewarded in terms of the profitability of their business. And they get those rewards when they serve the needs of the American consumer by providing affordable, quality service. And it's not to a few people, a few rich people, no. It's to the masses. It's the mass consumption of goods and services that have raised the standard of living of the United States to that of, if not the greatest, near the top. At one time, we had no rivals. Now we've fallen a couple of notches. But because of our freedom and our liberty and our constitutional republic, the United States has one of the highest standards of living of the entire world. That is made as exceptional. And why are we exceptional? Because we limit the powers of the federal government to interfere with the freedoms and liberties of the American people to pursue whatever career or path to happiness. Unlike other countries that for hundreds, if not thousands of years, were in slavery or serfdom, they were property of an so-called nobles or aristocracy that kept their people in bondage. People were not allowed to even think about pursuing their own careers. They didn't have the liberty. You were born into an estate, in other words, a class, and that's where you were born, and that's where you died. You didn't have the liberty to pursue your happiness by pursuing whatever endeavor you wanted to do. It was only through the Industrial Revolution, as well as the rise of the United States, that enabled the American people to pursue what they wanted to do. And that's why people fled their countries, mainly initially from Europe, but also Russia, to come to the United States. They didn't come here to get welfare. They came here because they heard that you had liberty and freedom to pursue your dreams. Many were successful and many were not successful. But the ones that were successful, that opened their own business, provided a standard of living for the entire American people. And that resulted in the accumulation of wealth and capital that enabled the American people to be one of the most productive in the world. It is capital that makes any worker productive. And if you don't believe me, do you think someone 100, 200, 300 years ago didn't work hard? They worked hard, but they had limited capital, if any capital. It's only through wealth accumulation and the success of the capitalist system. And remember, it was Karl Marx that was critical of capitalism, but even he recognized that the capitalist system enable the workers to be more productive. And that is what has happened. And that rises the standard of living of all Americans. And that needs to continue. The problem is, for almost 100 years, we've had a group in the United States. Initially, they called themselves progressives. And when that became a dirty word, they changed the label to liberal. That really confused people. And now they're back calling themselves progressive. These are people that believe truly believe that the best way to organize a society is for more and more government, more and more government programs, more and more government regulations, and to support that, more and more taxes. They truly believe in government intervention, both in the U.S. economy and abroad. The more general term for them is collectivist. Some will also call them statist. They definitely are both. But the major category is they're collectivists, and they truly believe that their ends justify any means. And unfortunately, we have them both in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The Democratic Party, for all practical purposes, has become a completely far-left, collectivist, statist party. That's what they're about. And to keep it simple, because a lot of you don't know what progressivism is, don't know what liberals are, it's very simple. They want the government to intervene into the economy as well as abroad. They're interventionist. I'm going to use that term many times today, but that is fundamentally what they're about. And they want to increase their power and to stay in office. And they do it by what I've called in the past Santa Claus socialism. They offer you things. They offer you benefits. You vote for me and we'll provide these benefits, including health care benefits in the VA, the Veterans Administration. However, as we've seen this week, the VA has not been able to deliver those benefits. Now, there's a reason for it. And this is where I want to connect the foreign policy of the United States, both under Bush and Obama, to what is happening today in the Veterans Administration, and is also what's happening to most of Americans that are being negatively impacted, namely hurt in the wallet, as a result of the implementation of Obamacare. And it has not been fully implemented yet, but more and more people are seeing that it's more expensive than the existing group health insurance that they had. And it's not only more expensive, which costs them more money every month, every payday, but it's also more expensive in terms of the deductibles. So what we've ended up with Obamacare, to the extent that individuals are being forced, and that's the right word, forced or coerced into buying this, is they end up spending a lot of money, if they have the money and job, for not only themselves, but to cover their spouse and children. And then they find out their deductibles are much higher. Instead of a $100 deductible or a $250 or $500 or even $1,000 deductibles, many of these plans, the best plans, have like $2,500, and the more common plan, your bronze plan or your silver plan, have deductibles of $3,500. Now, what does that mean? You pay a lot of money every month, considerably more. Most people are saying it's a minimum of 50 or 100% more than what they were paying under their past plans. It's expensive. And then the deductible is 4, 5, or 6 times more than their previous plan. And you need to understand that about 155 million people get their health insurance through their employer. Another roughly 20 million buy it individually. Those are the ones that were losing their plans. Now, more and more small businesses are finding out these so-called Obama plans, these group plans that comply with the Affordable Care Act, are more expensive. And if you're a small business, as much as you need health insurance, first for your own family, but also for your employees, if they're starting out, they simply either are not in a position to pay for it, or if they are, they require their employees to pay a share. And the complaint, and I've hear it over and over again, it's not only the premiums that have significantly gone up, but so have the deductibles, and then they can't see their own doctor. They are forced into a network where you have a limited number of doctors in the network, It's not the doctor that they've been going to. It's not the hospital they've been going to. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the collectivist, the statist, the big interventionist government statist, I call them the bigs, rammed Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, the full name, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. It didn't protect the patient, and it's not affordable. It was rammed down the throat of the American people. And now we're having an election where the American people are going to pay back the Democratic Party for doing this to them. Because you're interfering with their personal affairs. You're interfering with their security, their health care, and they don't like it. They don't like the people in Europe that were slaves or serfs that didn't like it. The American citizens don't want to be a serf or a slave to some government bureaucrat. They're revolting, and they're going to revolt by throwing out of office any Democrat or any Republican that voted for Obamacare. And they're also going to vote them out of office for what they're doing to the veterans of this country. Ladies and gentlemen, the Veterans Administration was cited many, many times by Obama and his supporters as an example of how good single payer is. Just a reminder, President Obama, when he was running the first time for president, we're talking 2007, actually earlier than that, made it very, very clear that he was for a single payer system for universal care. Single payer means the government runs the system, And everyone, no one has a choice. You don't have consumer sovereignty. The government dictates that you need to be in the system. Everyone is in the system. That's what they want. They're not making a secret of it. I can show you videos of Obama saying that. Now, admittedly, it was to a union audience, and he probably thought it would never be recorded or you'd never get it. But those are what the far leftists, the collectivists, the statists want. They don't want you to have consumer sovereignty. They don't want you to be free to choose what you believe is the best plan for you. They're very much elitist. They think they know better. And they're going to tell you what you will have, whether you like it or not. That is their attitude. It's a very arrogant attitude. It's a very condescending attitude. And it's really an attitude that I don't tolerate. I say, how dare you? And I'm going to push back any way I can. Any way I can. Because you ignored the American people. You ignored our concerns. I'm not saying there wasn't room for improvement in the healthcare delivery system. There are many things that both Republicans and Democrats could agree on that would improve the health delivery system. One is to simply increase competition amongst the insurance companies so that any individual could purchase any health insurance plan, whether it was in a state where it's approved or from another state. The Democrats would never go along with that. Why? They want a government monopoly on your health care. They want control. They want control. I'm just getting warmed up. I just got the signal that I need to cut it, end the program within a few minutes. So I'll continue this tomorrow, but I wanted to give you the big picture. And the big picture is the president wants single payer, and the Veterans Administration is more than a preview of what you're going to get with a single payer. You're going to get long lines, long waiting periods. It's going to be very, very costly because the taxpayers are paying for this. And ultimately, and unfortunately, people are going to die because the resources are simply not there. And I've already heard both Democrats and Republicans, they're panicking because they have responsibility for oversight. This is not a new problem. But the answer is not to throw money at the problem. The answer is to rethink, why is the government in the business, the healthcare business? It shouldn't be. That is not the role of the federal government. Now, if they want to offer employee benefits, veterans benefits, simply give the veterans especially those who are disabled for whatever reason, give them a voucher, money. Now, you don't give them cash. You give them a voucher, and they can spend it on buying a health and care, a health insurance policy of their choice. And then they can go to any doctor that's included in that plan. That's the answer. It's not the government running hospitals, hundreds of, I believe the number is 170 to 180 hospitals, 700 to 800 clinics, and they also have other facilities. That's not the answer. And more bureaucracy is not the answer. You want the incentives of the private system. And you want, fundamentally what you want is competition. Because where you have competition, the businesses compete for the business. They need to be responsible. They want to have someone make an appointment and then try to be as accommodating as they can so they get the appointment in a timely manner. And that's for anything. And I've already said in the last show, I had to get some car services, and they sent me a reminder. I called up about a week or two later, asked for an appointment, and I got it a week later. And I told them I wanted a certain day, certain time. They could accommodate me. I think I could have got the appointment the next day. Why? They have to compete for my business. So the customer comes first. That doesn't mean it's free. I paid for that service. Actually, I paid up front for that service. But that's what the American people want. That's what they demand. And they're not going to tolerate bigger and bigger, more and more expensive government that results in the disasters that are happening in the Veterans Administration. Now, my next show tomorrow, I'm going to connect it to the foreign policy because this is one of the consequences of government intervention abroad. For the last 60 years, the United States government, under Democratic and Republican presidents, have intervened all over the world. Some of it I agreed with, most of it I don't. I think all war should be declared. If you're going to use military force, then get the American people behind you, make the case, and declare war. None of these undeclared wars, military actions, and we've had over 50 of them under both Democrats and Republicans, because an empire, and that's what we have, cost money. And that's what you're seeing in the Veterans Administration, the cost of military action to support an empire is out-of-control government spending. And that means more spending for veterans' benefits. And I don't begrudge them the benefits. It's the American people, and it's really their representatives, that have not served the American people well, and that needs to stop. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening. And now, please listen to America the Beautiful. Thank you. Good day.